JMLWRadio.com network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. Back after yet another hiatus for a good reason. Dylan, you went onto your first flight actually in your life, and you did something else from your regular routine. You were on a vacation.
That's right. I went to the mountain. As some people know it.
TM.
Know it. Yeah, yes, TM, as it's also known. No names, no special parts, it's just the mountain. But yeah, I was way up in Colorado, the wonderful state, and
Not the person.
No, of course, we all know him, of course. But no, it was a lot of fun. I did some stuff I'd never done before. I went to the zoo. I went to the mountain, obviously. I got some really cool stuff there. There was a guy painting stuff, so I got some. He was painting these china dishes, like fine china, and he painted these really, really awesome murals of Elvis on them. And everybody knows I'm from Memphis, and my whole family is from the area, so I brought it back. My grandma and my great-grandma are huge Elvis fans. And my, you know, my nanny had met him probably, you know, in the 1950s and everything like that, way, way back in the day. So I got them for him. Mama was super psyched about them. She almost started crying when I got them. It was really well done, really cool stuff. I got my sister something. I got myself and Grandpa Ken some new shoes we were looking at, and I got his shoes in his favorite football team, the Chicago Bears, colors as well. And so we're big fans of shoes. I have shoes designed on the anime Demon Slayer, and they were very specially made. So I did a lot of cool stuff while we were gone. But I will say I was ready to do shows if I could have, although reception was very spotty. And I did appreciate on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat, I posted a couple of special shows, actually. I did one on Dragon Gate's big show, main evented by Shun Skywalker and Kazuma Sakamoto. And I did one on the IWGP world title, the design of it, the reveal of it. It was a very special show. I don't think I've ever done a show like that before, but it was like a 15-minute show about the belt.
Yeah, exactly. When I listened to the show, I actually thought that you were going to talk about the title and the championship itself, but you talked about the belt design more than that. So we're going to talk about the championship in and of itself without really getting into the design direction on this show.
Well, we did when I did that. That was the day they pulled the thing out.
Yes,
you know, they debuted it. So they had a whole article on their website where it was like it represents this, this, and this of all the old belts. And I broke it down through all of their words and my own opinions on them as well. But yes, obviously the design is secondary to other things. But when I was in the mountains, that's what I had. I haven't been on Twitter or anything like that in like a, you know what, 8 to 10 days at this point. So it's like I barely even know what's going on in terms of everybody's thoughts on everything. I didn't know if anybody loved it, if everyone hated it. What I could see was pretty negative reaction, the little bit I did see. But, you know, that's not always representative of the grand scheme of things. But, yes, obviously we're going to talk about some more important stuff on there. But all I'm saying is that I was ready. If you had made the call, Stringer, I would have found a way. Also, happy Easter to everybody, too, if you celebrate, I think there's never a bad time to just have a ham. Do you agree with that, Striga? Whatever holiday it is, you can bake a ham. It doesn't even have to be a holiday.
Well, if you're vegetarian or vegan, I don't think you want to have a ham, but other than that, I can get behind that.
That's true. I guess I need to respect those lifestyles. In Memphis, I didn't know what that was growing up, so I apologize. We're not thinking of the vegans out there. Shout out to the vegans like Daniel Bryan. I don't think he is anymore, actually. But everyone else out there, big shout outs, big props. But still, you can have like a vegan ham, right? They have like
sure
stuff. See, so you could have, you know, just like when on King of the Hill when they had Toe Furky, they could have Toe Fam, I guess. there. But yes, that was a great trip, and I missed everybody. I missed everybody on Twitter. I missed you, Strig.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we're back here talking about wrestling. And there's a lot to talk about too. These are the shows I love the most. Never mind quality of the stuff we're talking about, but just when we have stuff to talk about, that's the shows I really enjoy the most. So I'm so happy to be back.
To be quite honest, in the last couple of weeks, I wasn't really in the right mind to talk about anything in wrestling, part due to the third wave of Corona hitting the country very hard and everybody telling what was going to happen. Every expert basically predicting what was going to happen, but yeah, nobody really wanted to listen. And so we're in another shit situation right now. And so I had to really get away from worrying too much about stuff and just had to clear my head, and I took a week off, went to my parents, celebrated Easter with them, and just got away from stuff, just watched a lot of wrestling, played a lot of games, and just, enjoyed my time there. But now, I'm back in the good old treadmill, Dylan, and this also brings me back to wrestling, of course, and I don't know, I really feel like that I'm at a really crucial point of my fandom in these last couple of months, actually. We talked about my fan of New Japan World a couple of weeks ago, I think around February, we did that show. And I had to think about what you said on your show. I think it was a Dragon Gate one where you talked about the Wakayama show, that you are not really a fan of Dragon Gate as you are not really a fan of any promotion. But I was a very big fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling when we started this show. And I see this fandom going down the drain very quickly now. And I watched the Sakura Genesis show and it didn't do anything for me, basically. So and that's where I am right now. You've always looked at it basically from the outside, of course, enjoying a lot of what they put on in the last couple of years, but also looking on from the outside, not as a fan of the promotion, but as a fan of wrestling more in general. What's your state right now with New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Yeah, that's a great point, Striga. It shows, I think that's always been a difference between us and a difference I personally have enjoyed, and that I am more or less agnostic to every promotion. I have some nostalgia, like when K-Dojo died and turned into 2AW. That was like, that and Ice Ribbon were like my two first promotions, so I have nostalgia for them, nostalgia for Noah a little bit, nostalgia for All Japan a little bit, but I have nostalgia
for 01, for example, because it really was the first promotion that I really followed in Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I have nostalgia for that too. See, so I have nostalgia for a lot of promotions a little bit, but I'm not really like, it's not like I would say that I'm writing for any one promotion over the other. Every promotion has had their ups and downs, in my opinion. And even when New Japan was in there, I think that's another big difference between us. When New Japan was at its very big peak in terms of popularity in the West, I was never on that train as much as other people. I was never emotionally invested in Okada's rise to the top, for example. But I know you were. For the first years of our show, your picture on Skype was a picture of Okada holding Tanahashi's wrist, a drawing of it. And it's still in New Japan, well, technically, with Nagata in his laser eyes.
Yes, yes, it is.
So, to me, when I saw that, the first time, this is my perspective. So that moment, the Okada holding his wrist, the first time they did that, it was super over with me. I thought it was super awesome, and I loved it. And then they did it 20,000 other times and totally ruined the first moment, in my opinion. And yet that picture still remained on your Skype for all those years. So I think that's a little bit of a difference between us. And I think that's why this now, just to kind of answer your question, this latest run, the last year or so, has not hit me as hard as other people, because I never was that big of a fan anyway. But obviously, I think a lot of the wrestling quality has gone down in general when it comes to that. And you know, we'll talk about the champion right now. I think the booking is really just terrible, to be honest with you, in New Japan. And that hurts, but I never thought it was that good. And I think if you really look at it, if you really look at that roster, I think a fun exercise would be to go through the entire New Japan roster. And I would ask you, I'd say, who has this guy, has Wrestler X, has Gato, utilize them to the maximum of their potential. And I think there'd be one guy you could say that about in Okada, and then everyone else, I think, would not be that.
Everybody
maybe
else plays second fiddle, usually.
Yeah, and just they're just not booked well. Like, and there's tons of stories of guys that should have been bigger stars than they were. Even someone like Naito, I would say that he has not done a good job, has not maximized his popularity and his potential at all. So if you look at the booking of the company, I never thought it was that good. And like I said, that's damning when you look at the entire company. Okada, maybe Tanahashi, but he didn't make Tanahashi. Tanahashi was a star before he was the booker. So really, besides those two guys, I would put nearly everyone and say that they are not used to their maximum potential. Or maybe there's some guys that just never had that much potential anyway. You could argue that about some people. But still, for the most part, I just don't think it's a very well-booked company right now. And we could get into that a little bit more. That's a problem for me. Obviously, someone like Ospreay as champion, I'm not a big fan of anyway. Like I said, everybody's going to go through the political ramifications and all of that.
Yeah.
But to me, I was never a fan of his, even when everyone liked him. So,
but even
so that's
really, even if you disregard that, if you dismiss the political things that are behind that and his role that he played, quote unquote, during speaking out, if you dismiss that, the story, how he got there, still not better.
No, it's completely ridiculous, and they sacrificed a guy that was, at one point, arguably their most popular star. And they've done the unthinkable and turned the fans against him. Like, this is crazy to me. Imagine, remember when Kota Ibushi signed his contract with New Japan? He got a huge pop from the crowd when they announced that. Everyone loved him. He looked like he was going to be the top star of the company. And they had him win the G1 and everything was going smooth. And suddenly they came in with this double title stuff, and the way, not only the double title, but the way they portrayed him, he was clearly the fourth most important person of the four people they had there and how they booked. So imagine if I had told you when he signed that contract and I said, listen, Strig, 2 years from now, the Japanese fans, not even the Western fans, the Japanese fans are going to turn on Kota Ibushi and not want him to be the champion.
And they'll cheer when Will Ospreay defeats Kota Ibushi for the heavyweight title.
Exactly. Like, they will like this foreigner, a true foreigner, more than Kota Ibushi. That is a total failure as a booker, in my opinion, under whatever circumstances, that you had a Kota Ibushi and you've successfully turned the fans on them to where this... I mean, obviously, their Western reaction was a lot different. But to the Japanese fans, they don't want Ibushi to be champion, like, at the end of the day. And they, like you said, they cheered for Ospreay.
But let's go back to January. Kota Ibushi wins the IWGP Heavyweight title. And the IC title, of course. And he always talked about wanting to combine both titles. And they sent him through this route where Kota Ibushi had to basically defend his idea of wanting to unify the championship against Tetsuya Naito. And then also Jay White came up and also said he wanted to break apart the double championship and stuff like that, which ended up not happening. And the title was unified to a new championship that's now called the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. We're going to talk about the legacy and evolution stuff a bit on here too. But first, Kota Ibushi, of course, goes on to be the first champion. He made his first defense of this new championship against Will Ospreay and ends up losing. How can you explain this to anyone? How does this make sense? They go to this route and they spend months to build Kota Ibushi as this god that he called himself after Wrestle Kingdom that has the power to unify the championship, and in the very moment he achieved this, he loses the title. That makes him look so awful, and that's just going to your point, what you just said about him. They really dropped the ball with this guy,
and he's another in a long line of people that they've dropped the ball with, ultimately. But this, to me, might have been one of the worst cases. You know, I feel like, because if you consider this title reign, you can make the case that this is the worst world championship reign of all time in New Japan. Like, it was a total failure,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, you can make the case, yes.
And, like, okay, the Desperado match, that was cool and all. That was a good match. Like, I'm not hating on it.
Actually not part of the title reign because it was a non-title match.
Oh, yeah. See, it wasn't even... Wasn't it? I thought it was a title match.
I think it was not. And I'm going to check that on the New Japan website. I saw that a lot of people call it a title match, but I think it was just a special singles match. But I'm going to find out.
No, okay. Well, either way, like, that was a good... Either way, like, whether it was or wasn't, that was a good match, okay. The Sonata match was not that great. And then you had... The problem is, though, you go through all of this with the title unification stuff, and I think where they really missed the boat, I think if they had just announced that he was getting rid of the IC title, that wouldn't have been a big deal. And he's like, okay, it's now one belt, it's not going to be two anymore, it's one belt, solidifying the title. I think that would have been okay. But when they announced that, like, the legacy of the title is now going to be completely new, that's when everybody turned, especially in Japan. Because, I mean, this got vicious reactions on the YouTube video that they posted of that whole thing. A new legacy, a new title, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. That got a vicious reaction.
Yeah. It was actually a title match, the one against Desperado, but it was not... So it was basically the last title match of the old belts.
Yeah.
Like of the old double championship. And it didn't count for the new championship, which that's the thing that I confused.
Yeah, it was definitely a title match. But the problem is, whatever. Like, you know, this was all ultimately one title reign to our mind's eye now. Maybe it'll say something different on Wikipedia. But if you consider that, you know, whatever, that's one of the worst world title reigns of all time in New Japan, in my opinion. Because they've totally killed this guy as a main eventer. I think you cannot put him as a champion again. And it's a shame because he's a talented guy. He's a veteran, has been around, and was beloved not that long ago, you know. So that's kind of crazy to me. I remember when he won that G1 final versus Tanahashi. I was thinking, man, that was one of the best matches I can remember in New Japan. That was one of my favorite matches in New Japan history, probably. And... then you see him now, and it's like, even when, like you said, even 2 months ago or 3 months ago, when he beat Jay White, it felt like a good moment, even if it was just because mostly we just didn't want to see Jay be the champion. But still, it felt like a big moment for him. And then you go through all this stuff, and they killed him so bad, the fans totally hated on him. And, you know, the funny thing is, you mentioned that the show didn't do a lot for you. If you look at the Sakura Genesis show up and down, because I have to say, I thought the New Japan Cup was a step in the right direction from where they were going. Like, the month of March was better than the month of February, in my opinion.
Agreed. Because
you had that show with the Ibushi Desperado, and you had the New Japan Cup, and I thought they did a pretty decent job. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the winner, and obviously the angle everyone hated. And the match itself I didn't really like that much, in all honesty, the final match. But they righted the ship somewhat. It wasn't great, but it was at least, you know... average, kind of. I thought they did some smart stuff booking the Empire, too. I thought they elevated guys like Cobb and Okan pretty well, all things considered, even though I didn't like the Okan loss to Yano, obviously. But overall, I think they've done some good things.
That's the thing. What they've done this year since January is they make one step forward, and then they... You can't even say they make two steps back, but they take a huge jump backwards again.
This Ibushi thing was like a mile back. Like, you know, like it was so bad. Like, I can't explain how terrible this was that you got... I still can't believe I'm saying this. The fans turned on Kota Ibushi. And that makes no sense. It does not compute, Striga.
If you remember on one of our last episodes, I said to you that you need to look at Ibushi, look at his facial expressions, look at how he moves. He is not the same guy he used to be anymore. I don't know what it is. Maybe Dylan, he was crumbling.
I think I know this. And just, they sacrificed him. Like, he took the fall for their bad decisions. Like, they didn't have to do it this way. They didn't have to say we're getting rid of the legacy, the 35-year-old title or whatever. They didn't have to do that, but Ibushi took the fall because the fans, because they kept saying it was Ibushi's idea, even though we know it wasn't. You know, like in real life, it wasn't his idea. Like, it was the company that made this happen. But to the fans, they're blaming Ibushi.
Yeah,
exactly.
And at first, they made it seem like that they were really going to completely drop the legacy. now they have kind of told you that this new championship is about legacy and evolution.
Yeah.
And they played this video where the legacy part is basically like this camera roll of all former champions. And I think they also included the former IC champions into that camera roll.
Hey, Strick, does this mean Goto is a former world champion now?
shout out to John from Wrestling Omakase. He made exactly that point on his Twitter a couple of days ago.
Shout out to John. I love John. But I completely agree. I think now we know that Goto is now like a five-time former world champion now. So he's won. He really has won the big one. They'd always say that when he would like the NEVER title or the IC title. He is now a former IWGP world champion. So that's wonderful that they did that. Yeah. They've retconned their past for this. I wanted it to be like the old one where they played all the former champions. But it was like, duh, duh, and then it would just show Kota Ibushi's face, and that was it. Like, that's what I wanted.
And so they kind of, went into a different direction that the fans feared they might, but it's still just this camera roll of former champions. That's the legacy part. And then they go to the evolution part, which then shows Kota Ibushi as the face of the evolution. But the evolution ended at the first defense, and now the face of the evolution is Will Ospreay.
Yes. First of all, I want to really praise you for your call on Ibushi, because that's something I really didn't notice, to be honest with you. But you caught that, and I really, I got to give you a lot of praise, because nobody else had said that except for you. And you were completely right, and I think in hindsight, I think this has to be wearing on him, because he's somebody his entire career, when he was young and just starting out the first few years, he was like the wonder kid of indie wrestling. Like, that was his career path earlier on. He became the face of a whole company in DDT and was always beloved in New Japan his entire career. And now you see him getting this just hatred from the fans because of this stupid idea that they had. And I think it really did wear on him. And I think that he is really in some trouble. And like I said, I think you cannot go to him as any kind of main eventer or like world champion. I mean, you can main event a show with him, but you can't make him the champion again, which is unthinkable to me. Somebody like him, who's always been so popular for the entirety of his existence in New Japan. And I think you were completely right that it wore on him. And I think that he's shown that he's just really uncomfortable with all this. He needs to make a really substantial change to his character, which is possible if you have the right mindset. Remember when Kenta first came into New Japan, and he got a lot of really bad reactions too when he came in from the Japanese fans. The Western fans, they don't really matter, in all honesty, like to their booking or anything like that. But the Japanese fans came in, because remember, Kenta came in as Shibata's friend, the babyface. Nobody liked that in Japan. They wanted him to get out. They saw him as a Noah traitor, and they didn't want him. But then he, because he was such a great character worker, he was able to transform that into a true heel character that got the right kind of heat.
The right kind of heat for stealing Yoshihashi's stick. That's all he needs to do a great story.
Yes, he's a very good character worker. And cutting, and he remember, he had a character where he fell in love with the camera. Yeah. Literally. there. But yes, that feuds a whole other thing. But does Ibushi have it in him to make a drastic change like that? I don't think he does. As a person, as a character, nothing he's shown me, because Kenta was always kind of a dick. Like, even in his prime, he had that edge to him. Ibushi is like this weird, kind of goofy babyface. That's like his entire character. Can he transition that into a true heel? I don't think he can, because I think he's untouchable as a babyface at this point because of this storyline. It's not really his fault, but that's just the way that the hand is dealt right now. I think you cannot go to him as a babyface, as a champion, or any kind of main player again.
It's going to be tough, at least for the foreseeable future, to bring him back. He has been on the top of the mountain, really, not on the top of your mountain, but on the top of his mountain, because couple of months back, we call it as it was at that point, because his success in New Japan Pro Wrestling as an independent star, that you call him, he was. But as an independent star, it was really unprecedented that he got to the heights in New Japan Pro Wrestling that he was able to reach. But man, did he drop from there. He flew too close to the sun, I guess.
That's a really great comparison, that was one of my nicknames in wrestling, straight up modern day Icarus. So, like, Ibushi is now, I passed the mantle. He came to the mountain, and I gave him the mantle. And now he has fallen from the sun and crashed and burned. And that's his story now, unfortunately. But, yeah, Ibushi, I think he's in a tough spot. I feel kind of bad for him, because he really is a great talent. I think if they had done what... that's the kind of crazy point of all this, is at the end of the day, all of this... And do you want to say anything about Ospreay before we move?
Not really. I was going to talk about the title in general.
Oh, yeah,
of
sure,
course, includes Ospreay.
Yeah, okay, go on.
So the thing that I thought about in the last couple of days was I thought back to summer of last year when Katsushika Okada didn't want anything to do with the double championship because he felt that it wasn't worth anything anymore because the IC title was included into the double championship, which is why he created the King of Pro Wrestling. It is not really a championship, it is just the King of Pro Wrestling. Then he lost the match for the King of Pro Wrestling and ever since did not care for the King of Pro Wrestling anymore. Now he cares for the heavyweight championship even though the IC title is technically still in it. So I'm really trying to make sense of this all, but I just don't understand how Okada fits into this role right now, that all of a sudden he has interest in the heavyweight championship again. And I know that Ospreay basically challenged him, but he's going to take the title match and it's going to be the Tokyo Dome main event. And I'm thinking that he's going to win the title at that point.
That's why I wanted to get into Ospreay first, because I like at the end of the day, this all goes back to Okada. So let me just backtrack to Ospreay for a second. How do you think he... I mean, to be honest with you, like you said, the fans were into him winning the title, and they sold out his main event against a mid-carder like right away, pretty much, at Dontaku. Mm-hmm. So I think the fan response in Japan is a lot better than the West, to say the least. But how do you think he's been performing so far? Never mind, like I said, all the controversy and all that. How do you think he did in the match? How do you think he fits as a champion?
I think if you cut down to the chase, he fits as a champion because the fans in Japan accept him as such. That's just basically the short story of it all. If you look at him, he is a guy that really loves to play this character that he has, and he really loves to put drama into his matches. And that's why that's my main problem with him as a wrestler and as a performer, that everything he does has to be so overdramatic. And the pinnacle of all that drama was, of course, when he turned against his girlfriend that has supported him along the way, which is an absolutely stupid thing to do, of course. We talked about that on our last show, too. But it also goes into his wrestling, where everything that he does has to be overly dramatic. For example, the countered Rana, the reverse countered Rana that he did in the Kota Ibushi match, which it was in some ways a callback to the Ricochet match, where they also landed side by side into the ring and just shared this dramatic look at one another. And I saw people's reaction to this countered Rana, and people just laughed and laughed and said this was the worst thing that they have ever seen in an IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. And I understand these people, because it's just overly dramatic bullshit that I don't need. But as I said, cutting to the chase, he has played the role that they have designed for him well. If you just put aside everything. The stable that he started, they went to the usual route that they have in New Japan. We've been over this too in one of our last shows, that they lose in the beginning, but then they regain their steam and they've been an unstoppable force ever since. And I do think that the Empire is really one of the parts that New Japan has booked the best in their company. So in a weird way, this really was a threat that they followed in the last couple of months, whereas most other things just didn't really make sense at all.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is we never actually got to talk about the final of the tournament or all that craziness would be. I mean, it's all old news at this point. But
yeah, and that's it. I basically had the same feeling about the Shingo Takagi match that I had about the Kota Ibushi match. I thought they did their job. They did a good job. And I was stunned about the 9.03 rating that Takagi and Ospreay got. I can somehow see how fans voted the Ospreay and Ibushi match 8.12. I can somehow see it. It's just not that I cared a lot, because it's just Will Ospreay in the main event, and I can't get behind this anymore.
Yeah, I completely agree with your take on the Shingo match. I completely agree with your take on the Ibushi match as well. That just didn't hit me to any kind of standard that it should have or would have or could have. Obviously, the match itself was interesting in terms of how they were going to book it. I think there was no clear winner or anything like that. I think you could have gone with Shingo. And I said it on Twitter. It's like, I kind of have to blame myself for thinking Shingo was going to win, because it made a lot of sense. And yeah, the angle, like I said, it was what it was. Very stupid at the end of the way. However you slice it, it sucked. I did a show on Patreon about it and talked about it. And that obviously was to set up B's match in Stardom, get her out of New Japan. And you know, as we know, that's going to be her last match in Stardom, which came away later. And as you said, honestly, if you look at the year and just how they booked things, that's the one thread that they have called upon from January to now. Remember their feud with Tenkozy? Mm-hmm. That was a really well done feud, right? Honestly, you know, that was one of their highlights of their year in terms of a booking perspective. And I was really, really surprised when Ospreay won the title here, not because of the Western reaction, because like I said, I really don't think that matters at all to them and how they think. If anything, they might see negative reaction and think it's like a good thing because he's a heel. Whoever's involved maybe might not completely understand how it's like how much people just don't like this guy in the West. So I was really surprised, though, because I didn't think that they were going to put Ibushi so far under, because it killed him dead. Like, Gedo should have come down and just, like, shot him in the head. Like, he couldn't have been buried, but more.
Like, it was not even a finish that gave Kota Ibushi an out. It was just very, very clear.
And then they beat him up after the match.
Right.
Like, this guy is a geek. like you know, like, how could the fans not side with the Empire over this nerd, Ibushi, who did something really stupid and ruined the titles and all kinds of other stuff, you know?
When I saw the beatdown, my take was that he was going to take time off now. And he is not on most of the next tour shows. He only returns for Wrestling Satsuma no Kuni on April 29. That's the first show that he's booked for. So he kind of takes time off now. So I'm wondering if there is going to be any kind of change, but I fail to really foresee what that could be. He turns to the Empire now.
I just think that he needs a big character change at the end of the day. Whatever it is, he cannot be the Kota Ibushi we know anymore. And I think that the fans have turned on him too much. There's just no way to recover from what they've done to him. Turning to the Empire wouldn't be very logical, to be honest with you. It's like, this guy who beat me for the title, I'm going to follow along. Then he's Goto.
Just going to say.
Yeah.
That's what Goto did.
Do we need more Gotos in New Japan? We need more Gotos who work as good as he does, which I don't think that there are very, very many of those. But in terms of a character, we don't need more goofballs like that on the roster. So I hope that that's not what happens. But he needs a big change, one way or the other. I think that's the one thing for sure. And Ospreay, I think that, again, I've never really thought he was that great of a wrestler. Like I said, I know a lot of people liked him before, and they turned on him because of the personal life stuff. to me, I was just never that into him to begin with. Not to say that he's never had any good matches. Not to say that he's not. He has no physical talent. Obviously,
the Kojima match because it was very creative.
Yeah. It was a very good hardcore match. Even just this year, like I said, he's got talent. He's got ability and all of that stuff. But and to be fair, the fans have taken to him somewhat, and this group, I think, because they have been booked better than pretty much everyone else on the roster. Compare him to where Jay White and Evil are as when they won the title. To me, I think they've done a much better job with Ospreay because they didn't do, like you said, they didn't give Ibushi an out, which is bad for him, but for Ospreay, I think it's much better than if we had a Dick Togo match with run-ins and stuff like that. I think the fans have taken to this much more than Evil and his title reign because of the stylistic differences in their matches, and for whatever reason, they have gotten behind Ospreay to a certain extent. Again, I'm not saying he's like a megastar or anything like that, but I think so far, again, if you have to take all personal bias out of this, if you just look at it from a base perspective, you can't say that he's been unsuccessful thus far. But here is my thing. And if you go back to our Patreon, I did a show after the first round, after the Okada and Shingo match, mm-hmm. and I predicted right there, I said, I knew that Okada was going to be winning that title at the Tokyo Dome. As soon as they announced that Tokyo Dome match, and especially when he lost in the first round with the back injury and all that nonsense, I knew that he was going to get a title shot. And that is really the craziest part of all of this, is that if you look at New Japan, the entire scenario of booking is all about Okada still. Like, that's exactly what this is about. They've turned Ibushi... They've done the unthinkable and turned the fans on Ibushi successfully. They have Ospreay, a foreigner, a heel champion, which we've seen multiple times. They've gone with the heel champion route, and what happens? Maybe they get a defense, and then they lose it right away. And that's exactly where we're heading towards again. They're doing the same crap they did before, only now it's going to their ultimate champion, the Golden Child. They've thrown away their own title. And I think a big part of why they've done that with the legacy and all that is so they can say, oh, Okada's never won this belt before. Here's a first-time champion. The thing that he hasn't accomplished because he's done everything else. Listen, what's more important, winning this title the first time or winning the other title the ninth time or however many times he's won it? Mm. I really think that that was a big part of why they did it because they haven't built anyone up successfully.
No.
Their teams in Evil and Jay White have failed. Look where Evil is. He's in the King of Pro Wrestling match this month. He's not a main eventer. Nobody would take him seriously as champion right now. Jay is goofing around with Tanahashi having a feud about their abs, you know? To me, They have not built anyone up successfully, so they've decided to go back to the old well once again, which is why I didn't like them in the first place, even when everyone liked them.
And I really feel bad for Shingo Takagi, because...
Oh, total filler defense. Like, this could have been Goto easily.
Yeah, easily. They could have thrown anyone in. Goto, Ishii, Yoshihashi, wouldn't matter. But they have to throw in Shingo Takagi now, who's going to lose the third straight match to Will Ospreay now. And I'm 100% certain that he's going to get his win back in the G1 Climax. But still, though, he'll have lost to Ospreay three times in a row now. Two times within 2 months, too. And it's not even that. It's that it's just a filler defense. And they've announced the main event for the Tokyo Dome, so no one will even believe that Shingo Takagi has any kind of chance against Will Ospreay. And that makes the show so much less interesting. The only interesting match on that show is El Desperado versus Yo for the junior title. Everything else is ultimate matches.
I don't agree at all. I think
interesting in there is at least some questions to it who will win that match.
Yo is such a mediocre wrestler. he was not missed.
Never mind
at all.
The quality, just the match itself. There at least is some questions who will win that championship match. But the other one is not.
I don't think so. I don't think there's any way Yo beats Desperado. To be fair, that Desperado and Ibushi match, it was very good, but it didn't exactly pop a big number at the house, to say the least, if they want to hold that against him. But
as you said, the show is already sold out. Didn't you say that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's what they do. And that's another thing why the Sakura Genesis show itself was not so interesting, is they are doing a lot of big shows in a very short time.
That's
so
true.
They have to keep their big matches for their big shows. And that is why they have to stretch out these shows with a lot of multi-man matches, which in the end waters down all their cards and makes them less interesting, which is why I, for example, really can't watch any of the Kurikans anymore right now, because they are just not interesting.
Yeah, but that's a problem that's been for around for six, seven years.
I used to really enjoy the Kurikan Hall shows, but they have increased the number of Kurikan Hall shows so much over the last 1 or 2 years that it has gotten so ridiculous even for me to care for any one of those.
And to not even successful returns. Like, those Corkins in February were doing horrible numbers.
Horrible.
If you remember. Like less than 2AW level numbers.
Exactly.
Remember?
Yep.
So it's like, to not even very successful. I do think that, honestly, I think the virus plays a big part in that, and the lockdowns and all of that. They're trying to force feed all of this. They're probably getting pretty good deals on these buildings, to be honest with you.
I'm 100% sure they are. That's why they are doing these, but...
Same for Noah, same for Stardom.
Yeah.
And there's less expectations, again, especially for those companies. Like, you could do less people, and you could just kind of hand-wave it, but also you get the prestige of saying, oh... You're running two Tokyo Dome shows. So even if this Dome show isn't that successful, and who's to say? We don't know. Maybe it'll surprise us all. Maybe the people have clamored for Okada, and they do a huge number. We don't know that. But regardless, clearly they're catching some deals on these buildings, and that's why I think the virus plays a big part of that. More than, well, let's say that they booked bad, and why are they doing this? I think clearly the reason is because of the virus. So I don't personally put the blame on them for that too much.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
These cards here, they've done that for years and years, having these boring multi-man tags in the undercards. I mean, I'm certain we've had some variation of these cards 5 years ago with Chaos versus Bullet Club.
No, Dylan. But usually they had Wrestling Dontaku as their big shows in May, and then the next big show would be Dominion, exactly. But now they will have Dontaku two nights, they'll have the Tokyo Dome show, and then there's Dominion 2.
But even then, remember, they had Wrestling Hinokuni, where they break stuff up, like Goto and Nakamura was a main event, or Ishii and Makabe was a main event one night, and then you have the junior tag titles. You know, they break them up. They've done that for years to me. I don't think that's anything new at all, the latest way. But, I mean, this show, Sakura Genesis, to be fair... there is one thing that's not something that they would do. The junior tag titles in the semi-main event of a big show like this, I don't think is very common. So they did spread it out a little bit more. I mean, to me, any New Japan full shows, I used to be like that streak where I would watch the whole shows. Especially because, remember, when we first started, we're looking at maybe we get a show every few months. We're waiting months for stuff to come in. So we wanted to watch the whole shows, you know, like every part of it was important. In the New Japan World era, I quickly realized that they have made that impossible at least not impossible, just not smart or not an efficient use of time is the right way to say it, because these matches do not matter at all. Like these multi-man tags. And I've been that way for many, many years.
And it's much easier to watch it with that kind of thinking. It's much easier to follow a tournament like the New Japan Cup, much easier to follow a tournament like Best of the Super Junior with that mindset that you just have to skip everything else. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just go to the matches that you want to watch.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is that they do that. The fans didn't do that. They made the matches so important, or unimportant, that, you know. And we've seen, like I said, if you missed, let's just say you tuned into this show late, Strig, and you missed Doki, Taichi, and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jado, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa. You're going to get to see that match again in the future.
True.
Like they'll be on a million undercards in the future. So who could possibly care about this goofy undercard tag match that means nothing? The only thing that had interest on this show was who was X going to be in the Empire, how was Yo going to look, and what's going to happen in the main event.
And what do you think about Aaron Hinari now?
Aaron. I love it. Listen, I shouldn't make fun of him. Isn't that his real name?
I guess so. But he's not a apparently he's not a Toa anymore. So he's just Aaron now.
Well, I think the change is great. First of all, I think here's the deal with that. That's cool and all what he was doing before, but not only was he unsuccessful, we've seen variations of that same gimmick done a million times before and kind of better than he did it. He needed this change because I remember in that New Japan Cup match, that Jay White match was such a lame match in my opinion. He didn't show what I wanted him to show, what I'd hoped he showed, what I thought he had in him. Here in this match, and you watched this, right, Strig?
I did.
Yeah, it was like a 10-minute match. It really wasn't that big of a deal. It was a fine mid-card match. It was like, a 3-star type of bullshit match. Like 6.04. That's a perfect rating for it, I would say. And but they put him over really strong in it.
Right.
And I think the look is a good thing for him. I think he needed to get away from the old gimmick because, like I said, I think that's really generic, to be honest with you. And he's in a faction that they care about. So it's clear that they see something in him that I personally didn't think that they saw in him for all of these years that they've had him be a jobber, pretty much, in there and like just put over everybody and take falls left and right. They see something in him, or maybe Ospreay has some kind of, power now. I kind of mentioned this when Ibushi was champion. Maybe he's got Gato's ear and is saying, look, this Inari, I want him in my group. And that.
I can see that actually.
Yeah, I could totally buy that, to be honest with you. And the group is filling out really well. And I think that's a good thing in New Japan is that now we have this new group with United Empire. Because I think one of the biggest weaknesses of New Japan over the past few years and why it was so boring to me a lot of the times is the factions were so stale, like all of them.
But still, though, it's really not anything different right now because remember when Los Ingobernables started? They were kind of the new heel group that debuted and made the Bullet Club a little bit less evil. Then the Bullet Club got new guys in and became more evil than LIJ because they became more popular. Now we have this new group, the United Empire, and there also is Suzuki-gun, and they are just slight differences in how evil every group is, and it always depends on which group faces which group, how gray the shades are with their evilness, you know? It's not like it's anything new. It's just a new group that fits into the old mold. And the old mold is just still, there's Chaos, there's Bullet Club, there's LIJ, oh, and then there's this new group.
Well, I just like that they don't cheat like Bullet Club and LIJ and all that bullshit stables did. So.
That's good. That's good at least, yes. But my point here is, why don't they ever break up a group?
Well, they should.
Yeah, but they don't.
Well, clearly Gato doesn't believe in this philosophy of freshening people up. He says we need to have the same stables forever. Even st like, and there's the thing is they've had avenues to do that. Where, remember when Okada broke up with Gato? They did the stuff with Jay White. They could have split the faction there or something. It's two new groups. Suzuki, how many times have we wanted either Zack or Taichi to turn on Suzuki and then take over the group again? That's been talked about a
It's
million
just
times.
happening like very slowly now.
Oh, we're still holding out hope for that. Eventually, he'll have to retire one day, and I think that's when that's going to happen on there. But yeah, they definitely need to break up a group and switch some things up. And it's harder too when you watch other companies because pretty much every other company, they're so much better about their factions. Like literally every one of
Every
them.
company, yeah.
Yeah, whether it's Noah, DDT, Dragon Gate, especially Dragon Gate, All Japan, all of them have had shakeups in the last little while of their factions. Noah, there's a shakeup every week in a junior faction there. But like those things keep things fresh and are better than what New Japan does. But I think the Empire overall has been one of the highlights, and it pains me to say because I will say I think Cobb has stepped up really well in his role. He showed a lot in 2021 that he didn't show at all, in my opinion, before then. Hanari's got a new fresh coat of paint. That's something I've wanted forever. Okan, I thought the Naito match was probably his best match that he's had.
I
The one in
agree.
yeah,
I also
so
agree with Cobb, by the way. Great, great showing from in recent weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Ospreay, I'm still not fully on board with as a wrestler, and I think it was really stupid of them to ignore the ramifications of this, because I do think that actually this is going to turn some people off that aren't going to come back at the end of the day. Because I think that at the end of the day, this is very well designed to make Okada and prop him up more to where you could say, ideally, ah, that dickhead's not champion anymore. Okada's the
Exactly.
champion now.
Yeah.
Like, so, right? Like,
Nobody really
if
wants Okada to be champion, but people want Ospreay to be champion even less.
yes, exactly. So I think that was actually the end game of all of this. And unfortunately, they ruined Ibushi for some reason to get to this point. But
Just
yes,
happened along the way.
like he was just a, oh well. It's just
Collateral
Ibushi.
damage.
Yeah. And they also kind of have hurt Naito a lot too with what they did
No.
with Evil. And Evil, like.
And it's not like they didn't make moves on Sakura Genesis, as you said. Hinari pinned Sanada. By the way, I also really like the way that Hinari looked on this show, and I think the turn is doing a lot for him. And he looked good against Sanada, got the pinfall there. Also, Taiji Ishimori got to pin Hirooki Goto. You might say it's only Hirooki Goto, but that's a junior pinning a heavyweight. So that was move two they made. But the thing is, what I said before is that looking at the last couple of months, I know that they will make another stupid decision that I will just roll my eyes at.
Yeah, I mean, the match was the show itself. Like I said, if you skip the boring first two matches and the Tanahashi and Bullet Club match, I'm totally not into that Tanahashi Jay feud at all. I just think it comes across really goofy, and they should be doing better to elevate the Never title, which is what I wanted when they got rid of the IC title, and I don't think they're doing that very effectively with this Jay feud. It was nice to see Kojima get a win, though. I will say that, so that was something. Hanare, I totally agree, looked really good. The turn was good. A good decision all around with the Empire. Hey, Goto, I don't think it matters at all. I think it's just Goto. Honestly, like, I get that it's a junior and all of that, but it's Goto. So, it's like Yoshihashi and these guys, they don't care about these guys at all. They might as well be like nameless faceless people to Gato, I feel like, with how they booked them. And it's clearly just to set up the six-man title match, which I think, by the way, will be very good. If you look at the history of the Chaos six-man titles with Ishimori in, you have a story with Ishimori and Kenta there. You have the Kenta with the staff, which is goofy, but mildly amusing. For an undercard feud, I think it's actually kind of fun. Like the staff deal with Kenta and Yoshihashi. It's a fine undercard program. To United Empire is heating up. They've done a good job. The tag titles. What do you think of Yo's return?
Yeah, as you said, he, in comparison to Sho, he looks not as exciting. I thought his look was very weird. I think he didn't he have like two pairs of black pants?
Yeah, the black pants, a new change for him.
Yeah, they wanted him to shine on that in that tag, and he kind of did. This finish I thought was weird. It was kind of a sideways double arm suplex. It's not called the
Direct
dive.
drive.
Yeah, the dive. Kanemaru, he sold it like a champion. He sold it like he was dead. But I'm not sure about this finish. Yo, he'll certainly have to show that he really belongs where New Japan thinks he should be.
I recognize that move right away because it originally started in SmackDown Here Comes the Pain. So it's basically like he lifts him up in a butterfly lock and it lifts him up like he's going to do a tiger driver, but then spins him sideways to where he lands on his. It's kind of like a brain buster almost. And like you said, Kanemaru did do a good job of selling it, but when he was working over Yo's leg, this was like so boring. I was dying inside. I wanted to go back. I needed to go back to the mountain when I was watching this match, because it was just so uninteresting to me. And Yo is like such a generic like worker. Like I hate being down on him so bad, but he's such a mediocre guy, man. Especially compared to Sho, like you said, that was one of the worst moves they could have made is to reunite this team. And who could possibly give a damn about Roppongi 3K winning these titles again? This is the worst division in
That's
wrestling.
what I was thinking, that Roppongi 3K feels like a deal from the past, even though they haven't been teaming for 10 years or so. But Sho has shown so much upside as a singles wrestler, and they've just thrown him under the bus to rekindle this tag team.
They had new music. They had the piano music, which doesn't fit them at all, like, to be honest.
No.
But still, an improvement above the Rocky song, I would say for sure. But no, sorry, Rock, but your flow is kind of whack. But regardless, this was show. Totally agree with you. He showed so much last year. Deserves a spot. He should be in never title contention, having big matches, or even right now with Hiromu gone, he should have been one of the guys they looked at as one of the pillars of the division. If they're going to keep him as a junior, that's fine.
I guess with
But
Yo challenging, he might be the next one. Since they also have the junior tag titles, that's something to feud over.
yeah, I don't think Yo's going to win because, especially, I don't think Yo was going to win no matter what because he's just such a lame guy. But I think that them winning the titles, definitely, they're not going to put him as a double champion, I feel like. This was just, and here's the problem. Let's say they don't come back. Like Roppongi 3K, Yo does his own thing for whatever reason, whether he goes heel or whatever. Who are the other teams in this division besides Kanemaru and Desperado? Can you name one?
No.
I don't think I could either. That's a
I
problem.
can't.
That's a problem right there. So that shows you how, like, these are the titles they need to get rid of and redesign, not the
Been
main
saying
one.
that for months now.
Months, years, both of these titles, like the tag titles. Like, these tag titles suck in both divisions. We're going to get Taichi and Zack versus Tama Tonga and Loa again. Nobody wants to see that bullshit. We saw that in
Yeah.
February. That match was horrible.
Dylan, I saw people joke after the show when Tsukabayashi took the Iron Finger from Hell.
Oh my
I
God.
saw people joke that they are now going to do an Iron Finger on a pole match.
And they did
That
it.
is exactly what they are going to do.
A ladder match, and
A
we know
ladder.
how much the first one was so good too, that we loved it so much years ago with Omega and Elgin, or was it Tanahashi and Omega? I don't even remember. It might have been
It
Tanahashi.
was, I think the first, wasn't the first one Tanahashi and Omega, and then they
Yeah,
did another one with Omega and Elgin?
that might have happened.
Or vice versa, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, but those three were engaged in some kind of ladder feud. I think what happened was it was going to be one of the comparisons, but then one of them had to miss the show,
Oh,
and
yeah.
they swapped the other one in. I don't remember if it was Elgin who missed it or if it was Omega, but somehow it ended up a ladder match and it sucked, like, pretty much. And so we need it again with Taichi and Tama Tonga. Oh, what a matchup that is on paper too. Taichi and Tonga. I'm starting to hate New Japan more the more we talk about it. No, but yeah, Taichi and Tonga in a singles match for the stupid Iron Fingers.
Who
Why?
really cares for the Iron Finger?
I don't know. I don't know who, Striga. Please message us on Twitter at Eastern Lariat.
Are you a fan of the Iron Finger from Hell?
Do you care about it? Not just if you're a fan, it has to resonate with your heart.
Do you
Would you
want
pay?
a division where the Iron Finger wins the championship?
That might be as much as the King of Pro Wrestling title. So, this could be the new version, this could be the signifier, the trophy. And I think that's what we need. And Evil and Yano in a blindfold match, or no, a no time match. Oh,
Oh,
yes.
good.
Yeah, it's what we all wanted. Evil and Yano, no time.
I don't really understand the stipulation for the Iron Finger match because it says the winner will be the fighter who wins the Iron Finger from Hell hanging above the ring. The one Iron Finger from Hell will be sealed. So you win the Iron Finger and then it will be forever gone? Is that what I'm reading here?
You get to take it home with you and lock it in a box.
Maybe.
Well, good. They need to seal it away because it's stupid. Get it off of New Japan, get it off of wrestling.
But why couldn't Takashi Iizuka take it with him and ride off to the sunset with it?
We're still on that all these years later. But yes, that's what should have happened. I think we would all have been better off if that had happened. But no, instead we have to have a Taichi and Tonga match, which is going to have all kinds of nonsense. And it's going to lead to a stupid tag defense at the Dome, probably, that nobody cares about at all. And can you name another team besides Taichi and Zack and Tonga and Loa
In
in
the
the
tag
heavyweight?
division right
Yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Great Okan and Jeff Cobb are technically a tag team.
That's true. They never had a title shot if they want to go that route.
Kojima and Tenzan are still a team.
Okay, that's true. So we've got four teams.
Goto and Yoshihashi.
That's true. They teamed in the tag league. That was good. Ishii and Yano did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got guys there. That's a really weak division, to be honest. But still, that's better than the junior tag. At least I will retract my cynicism because you did better than the juniors. That's all we can ask for, I guess. But yeah, the show, honestly, it wasn't anything special. It didn't offend me. It wasn't some horrible show, but I didn't really like it. And at the end of the day, this is all to prop up Okada. Like, that's how, if you hate Ospreay, that's how you should look at it, in my opinion. Just remember that this is really all about Okada at the end of the day, and he's going to win the title and stand tall in the dome. And this is just, it's all going to end soon. And who knows what's going to happen at the Dome in January, where they're going with the G1 or all of that. Yeah. Because who could it be? Because they, really look at this roster. Again, I keep winding back to this point. Look at this roster of heavyweights.
Realistically, Dylan, it's Okada Ibushi again.
I don't think you can't go with Ibushi. I think he cannot be. But anybody would be better than Ibushi. Like, the fans, like, they're not going to accept that, in my opinion. Unless they do have a heel turn of some sort up their sleeve with him. But even then, like you said, he's already super uncomfortable. And he's not being himself, even unwillingly being portrayed as a heel, let alone trying to act.
You can't do Okada Naito again?
I think that's way more likely than Ibushi.
Maybe. Maybe it is.
Maybe. I mean, but that's not a good option, though. Because we've seen
that's why I'm saying that you can't do that.
Well, you have to do somebody. Like, I think Ibushi is absolutely not. Like, that cannot be the case with what they've done with the title. And everyone else, the guys they've tried to push, Jay, Evil, Sonata, where are they right now?
Yeah.
It's tough. Shingo, they can't do that. Like, the thing is, they're booking so ass for everybody that if they wanted to, at this show, I think you can... And maybe not even give him credit, but at least give him a stamp of approval that this show coming up, they sold out right away with him in the main event. Mm-hmm. You can't discount that for Shingo. And I think he's somebody that the fans would get behind if you pushed him, even though they've been unwilling to this point. So they've booked so ass with everybody else that he could, in theory, I'm not saying this is going to happen, it's not a prediction at all, but in theory, if they look at it and say, look, we can't do Ibushi, and we've done Naito too many times, we need to have somebody else. It cannot be those two. Shingo may backwards, may slide backwards into that role somehow there. So don't give up hope yet, my friends, even though you should, because they're going to book bad probably. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. This is all about Okada, and that's where I'm at with New Japan. And that's not interesting to me, but at the same time, too, I have to admit that I would take what they're doing now over what they did last year with Evil and all that stuff. I thought New Japan was a dreadful promotion last year. They're doing better this year, in my opinion, in all honesty.
I guess that's true, but still low praise.
Oh, anything could have been better than what they were doing last year. I think that was a terrible run, but I personally am not that down on it. I'm not high on it by any means, but I'm not... I don't think it's neither here nor there. I don't think it's significantly better or worse than they've ever been, except for last year when they were really, really horrible.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I just...
It's fine. Like, I mean, and plus, like, okay, like, if Okada won the title 7 years ago, you'd probably be super into that.
Yeah.
And if he wins the title now, how are you going to feel?
Listen, that's 7 years ago, and we're still talking about the same guy winning the championship all over again.
Exactly.
That's part of the problem, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what... That's my whole point on all of this. Their biggest flaw isn't necessarily their shows. It's how poorly they booked everybody on the roster. it's like we're struggling to come up with people that are eligible to even be in that main event against Okada.
Right.
Their next project looks like it's going to be Okan.
See, at least that project seems to be going well.
That's true. And he's getting better, I feel like. He's doing better in his role. Like, when he first came in, I was like, oh my god, this guy's a goofball.
In contrast to Ibushi, he's comfortable being in this role.
Yeah, I think he's done a pretty solid job. I'm coming around on him. I'm not saying I'm a fan of his work, but I think I'm getting there, to be honest. And that is a problem. You've always got Tanahashi, who also has never won this title. So if they wanted, if they wanted to pull that, that is something that they could play. That is a dome level storyline, in my opinion.
And they could do that one more time.
Exactly. Like this would probably have to be literally the last ride, because we thought the last
say
time
that every
was.
Time.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Everybody always writes him off, and I always say, don't write him off because he's so good that he is going to make it work. And I think if they went that route, I'd be pretty into that, honestly. The Tanahashi going for one more dome main event, I was into it last time, and I didn't like Omega's reign either. So if they do Okada's reign, and it comes down to Tanahashi and Okada in the dome, I could get behind that somewhat, in all honesty.
Too.
Yeah, it's not an inspiring promotion at all. Like to me, like if you were asking me to rank the promotions, where would New Japan rank for you right now?
Right now, what promotions are we talking?
All the Japanese promotions, any male Japanese promotions. Let's leave the Joshi promotions out of it right now. The male Japanese promotions.
So I definitely enjoy Dragon Gate, All Japan, and in parts I also enjoy Noah more than I do New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I would put it below all of those, like clearly. Yeah. In my opinion. I think Noah, All Japan, and Dragon Gate are better than New Japan right now. And I have a lot more fun watching them.
There are other promotions too. I would also put them below DDT in my personal enjoyment. Can't really say the same for Big Japan right now. That's just my personal opinion, personal taste of it. So it's really getting low on the totem pole for me.
Yeah, we're just talking personal opinion right now, not like business or whatever. To me, I'm probably softer on them than you are, but again, it comes down to our past where you were super into them, and I'm just not. I never really was there. I enjoyed their wrestling somewhat, but to me, if you look at their promotion right now, I think there are some positives, but compare them to every other company, to me, they're below Noah, All Japan, Dragon Gate. I honestly would put them below DDT too. I'm much more into guys like Takeshita, Ueno, and Okada than anybody on New Japan's roster. Like, name me anybody on New Japan that you're
Dude,
more
into. I enjoy Ganbare Pro more. I enjoy Kyushu Pro more than I enjoy New Japan Pro Wrestling right now.
Well, yeah, like I said, Ganbare Pro, they have some good matches. They had a Match of the Year candidate a couple of months ago. They're fun shows to watch. You know, it's hard for them because the atmosphere... It's hard for me to really get into
this. Of course, but just you asked me.
Yeah, no, totally. So, like those are totally legitimate opinions. And every once in a while, I'll see a match from an indie show that I'm super into, and like, man, this is so freaking good. For a show-to-show basis, I wouldn't agree on those. But that's again, that's just me, not you. I would put DDT above New Japan. That may surprise some people, to be honest with you. But I would up and down. Like I said, name me one New Japan guy that's more interesting than those guys that I said in DDT. It's impossible. Even great, I think. I like watching them every week. They're not
making
perfect.
Moves.
Yeah, they're not perfect, but they're making moves. They're doing something different, which is kind of my problem.
That is key right now in this environment of wrestling, doing different things.
Yeah, that's my problem with a lot of the indie promotions, is that they're just like stuff I've seen a million times before, and the best guys you could probably see elsewhere. So, but great, they're doing something different with the UWF style. I watch their shows on YouTube every week. They got some good, talented wrestlers doing something different, like I said. So, yeah, I like New Japan right now. They're struggling to make the top five of our, you know, promotions, and that says something. You know, there. So again, I don't want people to think, oh, Dylan, why is he suddenly defending New Japan? I'm not. I'm just being honest with you that I think a lot of the qualms have always, like, I think a lot of the flaws with the company right now have always been there. For some reason, people just didn't want to see him for whatever reason, or they were more emotionally invested, like we said with Okada, the first go around and not the 7 year later go around, perhaps, which is very, very understandable in my opinion. But I'm just telling it how I see it there. And like I said, either way, I would still put all those promotions, including the one we're about to talk about, above New Japan. And hey, that promotion that we're about to talk about, and it's kind of a good transitioning point. That company was really, really dry for me last year, and I wasn't into them at all, to be honest.
Even the last couple of months haven't been really great. But, as you said, some other promotions have shuffled their roster around much better than, for example, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and that is what All Japan Pro Wrestling really did.
Absolutely, and I think I might be different if they hadn't have done the turn with Jake Lee and a total eclipse, but I think with that shakeup, they gave themselves a shot in the arm. And I think there's still a lot of flaws with the company up and down, but they're at an exciting point right now. Maybe in 6 months from now, I might not agree. But right now, with Jake Lee, with Total Eclipse, with the Champion Carnival coming up, hey, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Me and Robert McCauley, we're going to be doing every show on the Champion Carnival. Every single match will be reviewed and graded, and all the fun technical analysis that you can expect. So I'm really into that right now. And I think anytime a company is nearing a tournament, that's a big boost. You know, when it's their top tournament, I think that's a boost for everybody. And I'm really into what they're doing right now. And I can't wait to see how they handle this Champion Carnival coming up. And I think that is a praise to All Japan again, even though there are up and down, you could point to flaws. And I mean, every company, Noah, Dragon Gate, DDT, you can always point to stuff. But I'm really into them right now. And I can't wait to talk about this tournament.
Exactly. And that is what we are doing right now, because the second part of this show that I'm looking at the time right now, that is going to be a very long show, but the second part of this show is going to be the All Japan Champion Carnival 2021 Eastern Lariat Pick'em, Dylan. We have one block. It's Shuji Ishikawa, Koji Doi, Zuwama, Koe Sato, Yuma Aoyagi, Shinjiro Otani, Jake Lee, Shotaro Ashino, Zeus, Kento Miyahara. The winner for each match gets 2 points, a draw gives them 1 point, and every other result, like a double DQ, double countout, anything like that, no contest, is 0 points. The wrestler with the most points after the round robin phase of the tournament wins the Champion Carnival, much like in the old days. So there is not necessarily going to be a final match. Just if there is going to be a tie on top, they will have to do a final match, or maybe they'll also have to do, maybe they have to do semifinals if they have 4 guys on top with the same scoring. So that is what we're going to do right now, Dylan. We are going to pick each match of the Champion Carnival 2021, and I want you to go first with day one, April 9, 2021 Eden Arena Osaka, number 2, Shuji Ishikawa versus Koji Doi. Who do you pick?
All right, first of all, I have an objection to the rules, because you noted here that they are going to be under PWF rules. And I think that I want to go back to the old days, the NWA United National Title rules, in my opinion. So I think already we're at a down point with the Champion Carnival. Okay. They've lost their way. I don't know what they're thinking. But yes.
Do you want to know what promotion also works under PWF rules, Dylan?
Who?
Koliga Pro Wrestling.
Oh, of course. I mean, carrying on the lineage of Baba right now. So the first show we have here, we have the lineup, which was posted on Twitter by you last night, and obviously given to us. We see it here. The first match, Shuji Ishikawa versus Koji Doi. So Koji Doi, he's a new guy in the tournament this year, one of the guys that I think there's going to be a microscope on to see how he does. His longtime partner, Kuma Arashi, didn't exactly light the world on fire last year, so they swapped him out for Doi. And he's going to get his chance here, and he starts off with Shuji Ishikawa. And I think that my prediction for this is Doi getting the win here. I'm going to go with the upset. I think they're going to want to establish Doi as the new guy and give him a win right away.
I absolutely agree with you, Dylan. I also have Koji Doi winning this first match. Ishikawa is the Gaara TV champion too, so they will have a nice title match set up with this win too for Doi getting off the ground. I think that's important for him because he's starting for the first time in this Champion Carnival, and he really needs these first 2 points.
I also, before we move on, I want to praise you, Striga, for inventing, or not inventing, but bringing up this spreadsheet we're using. Live on air, we're doing this. I saw you put in your Doi thing after I made my prediction on there, so don't copy me. we completely agree on that one. So let's move forward to the next match. You can take this one, Striga, first.
All right. It's the rematch of Zuwama versus Kohei Sato. They had their Triple Crown match. And I here will go with Kohei Sato because Japanese companies really like to have their champion lose early on in their tournaments, and I think that's going to happen here with Zuwama.
Another thing we need to agree on here or state is that I have made my predictions already. I did that last night when you came to me. This, by the way, if you enjoyed this segment, thanks Striga, because this was his brainchild, which I'm very excited about. I love these pick 'em games and doing stuff like this, so it'll be very interesting to see how this goes. But I agree with you. I agree with everything you said. Yes. Sato was my pick as well, I think, for the exact reasons you stated. And like, here's the thing with these two guys too. They're not going to be big players, in my opinion, of the tournament. So they need all the points they can get, and early on you want to give them a win so they can establish themselves a little bit better. So that's why I picked Sato.
And to your point, Dylan has already made all his choices. I have not. So I'm doing this really live here as we're talking. In the next one, Dylan, Yuma Aoyagi versus Shinjiro Otani.
Again, I think that they're going to want us to establish the outsider here with the opening match. With Otani, I think that could lead. Yuma's a guy that I really am interested in to see how they break down his wins, because I think everyone, him and Kento both, you could use to set up tag title defenses later on. And personally, I don't have a spoiler alert. I don't have Yuma or Kento winning the tournament. So I think you want to use those wins to establish fresh teams. And having Otani come in for this, I predict that he'll have a successful run, not just in match wins, but in terms of match quality, and they'll want to bring him back. So I could easily see them setting up Otani with a partner challenging for the tag titles in the future. So I go with Otani.
My exact reasoning to go with Otani too. Otani has been a great tag team wrestler for decades now. Him coming in to All Japan Pro Wrestling, putting over Aoyagi and Miyahara in the end. Great story. I'm into it.
Absolutely. That would be awesome booking if they did that.
So the next one then would be mine again. It's the semi-main of the first show. I was surprised that they put this as the semi-main. It's Jake Lee versus Shotaro Ashino, and that is the money match here, because of course Shotaro Ashino lost his group. Jake Lee took his group, took over Enfance Terrible to make a total eclipse, and Shotaro Ashino is going to be searching for revenge, but it would be lame to give this revenge to him just now, and that is why I'm picking Jake Lee to win this match.
That's a fair point on your part, but we're going to have our first disagreement here, because I think that it's going to be Lee is going to be very protected in this tournament. I think we can all agree on that. And I think you're going to want to position him, his losses, rare or not, in places where guys can face him in the future, to where they will have something they can point to in the future. Jake can always get his win back over Ashino, but and I also think that it's very important to give Ashino something earlier on, because he's another guy, and we're kind of spoiling it here, but not really my picks. Just look at the last day of the tournament. That's kind of a clue to who's going to be a player and who's not going to be a player, and Ashino is in a very unimportant match, so I don't think he's going to be a big player compared to Lee, who is in an important match. Therefore, I'm giving Ashino the win here with eyes to put over Jake later.
So you can't see this right now, obviously, as the listener. I have painted the background of our difference red to make it more dramatic right now.
Okay.
Let's see how we move forward here, Dylan.
If you had the All Japan spirit, you would have painted one side red and one side blue to match the old school ring, obviously.
That's true. What do you think about Zeus and Miyahara?
Yeah, Zeus and Miyahara, I'm like you. I don't understand why they didn't put the other match as a main event, which is another clue that I kind of think Ashino is winning, because I don't think they've really gotten behind him to that main event level compared to Kento and Zeus, which they always seem to go to in a main event level. Rematch of last year's final, too, that might be a big reason why. They're kind of hyping that as a selling point. I think Kento's going to win. Zeus, he had his win last year, and now it's time for Kento to get his win.
And the thing is, I would make the same argument as with Yuma Aoyagi, as in setting up a tag title shot, but they had their tag title shot already.
Yes,
so absolutely. That is why I'm going with Kento as well.
Yeah, great point on your part. I think I thought of that too when I was making these predictions, but you just made a great point there. So good stuff.
Let's go to day 2, April 10, Nagoya International Conference Hall, starting out with Koei Sato versus Koji Doi. By the way, for the next set of shows, I don't have the match order yet. So we're just going by the match order that I took from Perloff. And that has here Koi Sato against Koji Doi as the first match. Dylan.
You just made it up, Stringer.
I just make everything on the show up.
Me too. I don't even watch wrestling, Stringer. I just make guesses what happens. But I went with Sato here. I think this is a pretty big toss-up match. But in the future, I think you could give Doi a bigger win. That would be more important to him than Sato. So I gave Sato the win here so we could give Doi a win later. But, I mean, again, neither of these guys, in my opinion, are going to be big players in the tournament.
Yeah, I just think that they want to have Koji Doi start out strong, which is why I will put him over Koi Sato in this match.
And I will say that Sato is Ishikawa's friend. So that's also my... They're going to put him over strong. But I think in the future, that spoiler alert, I don't think either of these guys are going to get many more points after this match. So either one's fine.
Yuma Oyagi versus Shotaro Ashino is next. And since I had Shotaro Ashino lose his first one, I also have Aoyagi lose his first one, but I have the feeling that it's going to be Shotaro Ashino here.
We disagree again. I think Aoyagi is going to win. Ashino does not have a true partner yet. They kind of did something with him with Suwama being one of these, he's in evolution, but not really type of deals. They haven't really gone far enough to me for them to warrant a title shot. I think you have other guys like Otani that would be better tag team guys. So I'm going with Yuma to win. I had Shotaro win largely, so also that helps out picking Yuma to win here.
Next one for you, Kento Miyahara and Shinjiro Otani. What a match.
Oh yeah, this is a big deal. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the main event of the show, depending on how much they value Otani.
Well, they also have Suwama and Jake Lee on this show.
Yeah, that was your predicted main event. I know what you think the main event is. I see the card right here. But either one, Suwama and Lee, obviously. Suwama is a threat to the main event, obviously, as the Triple Crown champion. They probably will want to protect him, so I that wasn't a bad pick on your part. I think Kento's going to win. Otani, he beat Yuma already. He doesn't need to beat both of them, in my opinion. I think Kento, always good to... He's a good pick to win any of these matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is the third match of the show. And then there is the Battle of the Giants in All Japan. Zeus and Shuji Ishikawa. This is really a match. It can go either way.
Yeah.
There are pros and cons for either guy. I don't know, man. I'm just going with Shuji Ishikawa here.
It's more fun that way, because I went with Zeus, so we can be different again. But I basically agree with you. Like, anyone... And you forgot to fill in Doi and Sato as red, too, on the first one. There. That's very important that we mark the matches. But, yes. Zeus and Ishikawa... Zeus won last year. I think Ishikawa will get some wins later on when looking at the tournament. And I think Ishikawa is fine with putting over big guys like Zeus more than the smaller guys.
Yeah, I can see that too. Suwama and Jake Lee, Dylan, what do you say about the main event? Well, the supposed main event.
Your main event. I think Suwama wins here. I think Jake again. There's bigger plans for him in the future. And I think beating him here would be interesting in some ways, but I think Suwama will get the win to make a later match more interesting between them.
My exact reasoning to give Suwama his first 2 points here. Going to day 3 of the Champion Carnival, and then here we have a series of cards that only have 4 Champion Carnival matches, starting out with Shuji Ishikawa versus Yuma Aoyagi. And as you said, Shuji Ishikawa is probably cool with putting over big guys, but I think he's also, as a veteran, cool with putting over a young guy like Yuma Aoyagi, because they have been putting over Aoyagi strongly as a guy that can also tap out bigger guys, like he has done with Zeus, for example. So I am picking Yuma Aoyagi.
This is a tough one. I think... to me, he put him over the tag match, which means that I think he's going to get his win back here. Like I said, he'll put over the big guys more than the smaller guys. Aoyagi's a smaller guy. I'm going with the big dog to get his first points in my tournament.
Right. Jake Lee versus Koji Doi. Total Eclipse confrontation right now.
Jake's going to win this.
Yeah.
No other explanation needed. Like, Doi's not going to beat Jake.
That's true. Yeah, Kento Miyahara versus Shotaro Ashino next. That is a tough one for me. Because I've not yet... Oh, yeah, I do. I do have Shotaro Ashino win one match yet. Kento Miyahara has won 4 matches. I think Miyahara wins this one. The last one last year was very disappointing. Yes. So remember, we are never shy to call that out. I hope this one is going to be better. I still think that they are going to go with the story of Shotaro Ashino's bruised ribs, which is something that Miyahara, of course, likes to exploit, and I can see him getting the win because of that here.
I think this will be better than last year because he's not in the Enfants. And obviously, it just has to be, no matter what. It can't be less good than it was last year. But he's outside of the Enfants. We're going to get a straight-up match between these two this time, and I think that Kento's going to bring it. This is another one where I wouldn't be surprised if it was the main event with Kento, and I think Kento's going to win as well. Ashino, I think he won last year, and it was a very disappointing match. So I think Kento's going to win this here. And Kento needs those points because he is the man.
He is the man. What do you think about Zuvama and Zeus?
The champ gets on the board again in my book. I think he's going to beat Zeus. Zeus and him have had matches before. And he's beat him before. And I think he's going to be protected, obviously, as the champion. And Zeus has already gotten his title shots, so I think Suwama's going to win.
Zeus still winless in my booking so far. Suwama gets the next 2 points, making it up to 4 in my ranking.
Poor Zeus.
I'm sorry. He'll get this win.
He'll get points eventually.
So the next match, next show, day 4, April 17, there is a 6-day pause between these shows. Shin Kiba First Ring, April 17, Shotaro Ashino versus Kohei Sato. Kohei Sato has won 1 match so far, Shotaro Ashino 2, and I gotta think that this one is a match for Ashino to win.
Absolutely. Ashino is gonna win.
Okay.
Or Shotaro, as you call him.
I've since corrected my error here. Next one for you, Jake Lee and Shinjiro Otani.
I think Jake gets the win here. Otani's a threat to win anything as the outside guest, but I think Lee, this would be a very important win for him, and I don't think that they could go much further with Otani. I'm not certain that they would go all the way with him as a triple crown challenger in the future, so I think Lee gets the win here.
Yeah, I agree with you. The next one for me is Zeus and Yuma Aoyagi. Zeus is still winless in my bracket, and I've talked about him tapping out to Yuma Aoyagi, and in my book, he gets his revenge now, and he beats Yuma Aoyagi.
I'm going to go back to our earlier point that they've already received the tag title shot, which was my thinking, and Zeus does have a win in my book, so see? I'm going to go with the difference. That's why that's futuristic thinking with him over Ishikawa. So I'm going with Yuma here to get another win. It's always fun to give Yuma points.
That's true. Suwama versus Koji Doi.
I think Suwama wins this. Don't think there's any way Doi beats Suwama.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, if they really want to get behind him, I guess you could, but I mean, they've shown little evidence of that so far. It would be a huge win if he could get
it
a
would
big
be, win. It would be a huge win, but I don't see him that far up in the rankings.
No, yeah, me either. I completely agree. This is a weak show in general, honestly. You could easily go with Suwama in the main event here. And Doi, I don't think so.
They have a set of smaller shows on the mid-tour shows because day 5, April 19, the day after that, is in Shiba in 2AW Square. Remember the hub of pro wrestling last year?
Yes.
It's in this spreadsheet that I have here, it starts out with Kento Miyahara and Koji Doi, Dylan.
I think Doi is not going to beat Kento. Kento is going to win. Pretty much the same thing with Suwama. Doi is not at that level. at the end of the day.
I agree with you. Next one is Shuji Ishikawa versus Shinjiro Otani. Yeah. Man, I'm going to go with Otani in this one.
I agree. I think as the outside guy, the booker going over, the battle of the bookers.
Yeah. That sounds like a... And again, Ishikawa is the Gaara champion, and they have kind of made the Gaara title this championship that is defended against outsiders. So,
yeah.
There we go.
Exactly. This makes perfect sense for Otani to win.
Zeus and Koei Sato, Dylan.
I give Zeus the points here.
Me too.
Because, this is pretty straight up. I don't think Sato and mine, he got off to a hot start. Like I said, him and Doi are not going to get many points in the future, and Zeus needs the points more. So Zeus gets the win.
Yuma Aoyagi and Jake Lee, Dylan. I am going to go with Yuma Aoyagi here, giving the first loss to Jake Lee.
Okay, that's kind of an interesting story, actually, to have Lee go undefeated and then have the loss to Yuma. I had Lee start off slow because I think that's more of a traditional booking and then heat up. And I'm going to go with Jake here. But I like your storytelling. If they did do that, I think it would be really cool if Yuma got his big win over Jake.
You know, there's always these two approaches when you do a pick'em in Japanese pro wrestling. There are some guys that you have start out slow, and there are other guys that you have win all the matches in their run. So that is just the way that I thought it would be because, as you said, it would be interesting because Yuma Aoyagi is really not a part of the storyline right now, but historically, he has always been aligned with Kento Miyahara, Jake Lee, and of course, Naoya Nomura too, who is still sidelined. So that would remind people that Yuma Aoyagi, in fact, is part of this supposed new four pillars in All Japan Pro Wrestling.
That's true. And we saw that some kind of deal last week, I think, where Nomura is still training and trying to come back, too, they announced. So that was very good news to see that they put that out. And you know we're rooting for that kid. His injury sucked. I'm so happy to see that he hasn't given up yet. He was a very talented guy, so I hope one day he can recover and make it back Nomura. So shout out to Nomura. Yeah, like I said, for me, it's like you look at the tropes. Lee is who I had start out slow, so he can win a lot later on. Sato I put over earlier on, and he's going to lose all his matches. So like that's pretty much how I had it here. Aoyagi winning again, though. I kind of like your story better if they pick that, if Aoyagi can get the big win over Jake. So good pick.
Yeah, as I said, it can go either way, but I just find it more interesting that way. So then there is another gap of 6 days. That's what I really like about this tournament, right? All these singles matches are a really big grind for the wrestlers, but they have these nice days off for everyone to just take a break. And there is another 6 day gap between the 2AW Square show on the 18th and day 6, April 24, the next Shin Kiba First Ring show, which starts off with Koji Doi and Shinjiro Otani, Dylan.
Yes, I think that Otani will win this for the reasons of all of Doi's losses. He's just not at the level of beating these other guys. So I think that Otani gets the win here, and that moves him up to 6 points in my block. And it's a pretty strong little run so far.
Yes, also 6 points in my block right now. And then we have Shuji Ishikawa versus Shotaro Ashino. Shuji Ishikawa still only has 2 points in my block, but I don't really foresee him to be a key player in this tournament, so I'm giving another one to Shotaro Ashino.
I'm going with the big dog here. I don't think he's going to put over Ashino, and I think he's too small for Ishikawa's eyes, and that's why he's facing Koji Doi on the last night, and not in a big match, and why Ishikawa's facing the champion Carnival, or the Triple
kind of
Crown
the
champion.
Story that they've told with... Oh, you know what? I have to change my pick because I still have something else in the back of my mind.
Oh, no.
That is going to happen with Shotaro Ashino. So that is why I'm also go with Shuji Ishikawa. Because the danger of these pick-ems are that I give too many points to Shotaro Ashino now, and then I have to backtrack in the end. So I'm rather going in this direction now.
Yeah, you did that last year in Noah when you gave Sugira a bunch of points and you had to backtrack.
Yes! Yeah. By the way, I have to highlight our differences on the
yes.
Day 5 show I did. Yes, there was only one difference.
Yeah, only one. So we're on a good pace right now. On day six, you changed your mind. You saw the light and realized that my pick was better, and you have plans in the future.
For Kento Miyahara and Koei Sato, I'm going to go to the upset. I say Koei Sato defeats Kento Miyahara.
That makes sense because you put Doi over Sato earlier on. So that kind of fixes it for me. With Sato winning earlier and with the matches coming up, I actually have Kento winning and taking a dominant lead at 10 points at this point. Okay. Yeah, he's undefeated at this point, I think, in mind.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Then, Dylan, the final match on this card, Zuama and Yuma Aoyagi.
Aoyagi's big win in the tournament over the Triple Crown champion for me. Nice. I'm going with the upset. And I think Aoyagi's someone they are going to focus on somewhat. He's not a main player or a threat to win, in my opinion. But I think he's somebody that's going to be focused on. He's going to get a big win, maybe even two, in this tournament. And I think it starts here with Zuama.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm picking him too. I think this is his second big win in a row after Jake Lee also defeating Zuama.
Absolutely.
Day 7. April 25, we're going to go to the bigger building now. It's in Korakuen Hall. We have 4 matches of the Champion Carnival lined up. And I think there's also going to be on one of these Korakuens, I think on the 25th or on the 29th? On the 9th, on one of these shows, there's going to be a junior title match between Shima and Hikaru Sato. Mm-hmm. I don't have it in front of me right now, so on one of these shows, there's the match. And Dylan, you go first, Shotaro Ashino and Shinjiro Otani, and from the spreadsheet, I can see that you're picking Otani.
That's exactly right. How'd you know?
Because I could see how you highlight the column.
I need to be smarter about that. But yes, again, I go back to the last day. Ashino facing Doi, Otani facing Zeus. Otani outsider needs to be protected a little bit more. So I went with Otani.
See, I'm going to go to Otani as well, giving Otani 8 points in my ranking.
That's going to be awesome. Like, that's one of my most anticipated matches of the tournament, by the way. Otani and Ashino, I think that's going to be a great match. Ashino reminds me a lot of Koji Kanemoto, which is Otani's biggest rival.
Oh, that is a great call, yes.
Yeah, so I think that this match is going to be super awesome when they get in there.
Twin Towers Collide, next up. Shuji Ishikawa and Kohei Sato. Well, Kohei Sato, of course, also an outsider, but kind of, I think he's meant to be a regular in All Japan Pro Wrestling. Shuji Ishikawa can't lose all the matches. I'm giving him another win here over Kohei Sato.
Yes, I agree with you. I tried to highlight Sato, so you'd think I was going to pick Sato. Yes, exactly. I showed my hand too much with Otani, so I had to try and fool you a little bit. But I agree with you. Big dog Ishikawa, again, he's got to be, to me, somewhat relevant, considering he's facing Suwama on the last night. And Sato, like I said, he's in both of our brackets at this point now, you give Sato the win over Kento. It's like he's got all the points he needs, pretty much.
So the next one is for you, Zeus and Jake Lee.
This one's pretty cut and dry, in my opinion. It makes all the sense in the world for Jake to win. Zeus won last year, and why wouldn't you have Jake beat the former champion, pretty much, of the Champion Carnival? So I think it's pretty simple. Jake wins.
Yes, exactly. All right. Final match on this show is Zuama, the champion, against Kento Miyahara. And looking at my block, I have it pretty much evened out right now because I'm giving Zuama the win over Kento Miyahara. And right now in my block, there is Zuama, Shinjiro Otani, Jake Lee, and Kento Miyahara at 8 points.
Excellent work on your part. And I agree with you for this match. I'm picking the Triple Crown champion, Zuama. I think Kento, in my block, he's clearly ahead. He's been undefeated to this point. But I think this is where we start to see it turn around for Kento. And Zuama always needs good wins, always needs to be protected. I think Kento, they've had their battles in the past. I think Zuama gets one more win over him. And in my block at this point, we have Zuama, Lee, Otani, all at 8. And Kento at 10 leading right now. I had Shuji, Yuma, and all Shuji and Yuma at 6.
Okay. Yuma Oyagi is in the first match of day 8, April 28, Yokohama City, Hodogaya Public Hall. Aoyagi faces Koji Doi. What do you say?
This is Doi's second win of the tournament. I'm going with the upset on Yuma. I think it sets up a tag title match in the future with them. And that's pretty much my thinking behind it. He's more likely to beat Yuma than Kento, and sets up a tag title match.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Also going with Koji Doi here. Next up is Jake Lee versus Kohei Sato. Also, much like the Zeus match, no-brainer for me, Jake Lee.
Absolutely. When you look at the pairings of this, you would think that. But with the way things have played out, I think Sato gets one more win here to set up what's going to happen in the thing. And I think Sato's kind of the only one. It had to be him, but I think he is going to get some respect in the tournament from the big dog himself. So I have him getting a win, mainly for points spreading, but I don't think it's that crazy. Our only difference is you had Sato beat Kento, and I had Sato beat Jake.
Exactly.
So different upsets, but same thinking, pretty much.
So that's another one I have to highlight. Red here, Dylan. Kento Miyahara and Shuji Ishikawa.
Kento needs to take another fall here. I had a winner a lot earlier on. I'm going with another upset. I think a lot of people think that it's going to be Kento, but I'm going with the big dog. The big dog works his way back into play, and Kento needs to be ahead right now. So he can't win anymore at this point, pretty much.
See, as you pointed out, I have Koei Sato defeat Kento Miyahara, which is why I'm here going with Kento. Also going to 10, much like Jake Lee.
Yes, your plan is very logical. So I completely agree with your booking. And I just said I had Kento beat Kohei, and that made this match happen how it did, pretty much.
Zeus and Shotaro Ashino. Here I am going with Shotaro Ashino.
I'm going with Zeus. I think that he's going to have... he needs points as well, and that makes them both up to a decent amount. I'm going with Zeus.
This is the show of differences. Third one on this show alone.
This is where all the points come into play at that day 8, because we're nearing the end of the tournament and we need to rally things around. We'll see what happens.
Shinjiro Tani and Suwama, what say you?
Suwama gets the win for the reason I said before. I don't think Otani, they view him at a triple crown level.
Yeah. He is an outsider, of course. He will get protected, but not protected to the level that he defeats the champion.
Yeah.
At this stage, I don't see. So that is why I'm going with Suwama as well. Which brings us to day 9, going to the closing stretch. April 29, Kirkenhall. Once again, and I see it, you've already picked Shinjiro Otani. Or are you trying to fool me once again? I'm not sure. He's highlighting everything now. So Kohei Sato against Shinjiro Otani, Dylan.
This to me is like very obvious. I think Otani is going to win for sure over Sato. I'd be stunned if he didn't.
Yes. I'll be stunned as well, because there's a lot of political reasons.
Exactly. Like, would he agree to be in this tournament if he had to lose to Sato? I don't know.
Probably not.
Yes.
Zeus and Koji Doi. I will give respect to Zeus going up to 6 points.
And I'm giving him even more respect going to 8 points on mine. So shout out to Zeus right now.
Shuji Ishikawa versus Jake Lee.
I think Jake wins this. The points could end up how they're going to end up, but I think Ishikawa is going to put him over and see that as a big deal.
I will agree with that booking.
See, the last show we differentiated. Now we're agreeing a lot.
Let's see how this goes on, Dylan. Kento Miyahara versus Yuma Aoyagi. Tag team partners collide. And looking at the final day, I have to keep Miyahara strong. Pretty much. I could also have Yuma win.
Oh, thinking about it here, we've got some thinking debate.
Internal debate, because Yuma is at 6. Could use more points, but he could also finish at 8 in the end. I think I'm going with Kento Miyahara.
Our one difference here, Yuma, I'm getting the upset to Kento. This is his big spot in the tournament. I think that it makes sense with them being tag team champions. It gives Kento a little bit of a twist in his story as well. And it keeps things how they should be for the final match, pretty much, in my block. So I'm going with Yuma.
Suwama versus Shotaro Ashino.
I think this is Ashino's big win. You've put him over, like, everybody in the tournament.
That's not true.
And I've, he has way more points than yours than mine.
He is now at 8 in mine.
How can that be?
I've backtracked on the Shuji Ishikawa one.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. okay, fair. I see that now. I've seen the error of my ways. But I think Ashino gets the win here, regardless. I'm sure you agree, though. This should be his big win. It makes perfect sense for him, especially after he lost twice to him. Getting a win over Suwama would be a big deal for him, and I think it makes perfect sense for him to do it.
That brings us to the final night of the Champion Carnival, also from Currican Hall, May 3rd, 2021. 5 matches lined up. Dylan, you begin with Shotaro Ashino and Koji Doi.
Okay, before we do that, let's look at our blocks at this point.
All right.
We're going to the final night. Who is still alive in Striga's world?
I have Jake Lee and Kento Miyahara tied at 12 points. While also Suwama and Shinjo Otani tied at 10.
Okay, so they can, only Jake and Kento can win in your block. Whoever wins their match,
it's true.
Or they could draw and have another match if you wanted. Sure, like why not? In mine, I'm a little bit more spread out. So going into the last night, a lot of people are still alive. Otani and Lee. Suwama and Kento are all at 10 at mine. So they all have a chance. Zeus and Yuma are at 8 and also have a chance, as well as Shuji. So we've got a lot of guys still in play in mine at this point. Like, I really dogged out Sato and Doi and some of these other guys to make it more appealing. Yes. So I've got everybody alive in the last part, pretty much. Well, not everybody, but like 5 different people. But it's all going to make sense at the end, I promise. So, let's start with Ashino and Doi, two guys who are alive in neither of our blocks here. I am going with Ashino, again, finishing the tournament on a strong note. And if it plays out to my booking, it's only 8 points, but it's pretty successful when you end it with being Suwama and the guy you have a grudge against in Doi.
Yeah, would be a cool story. But it would also be fitting to the story that Ashino loses to Koji Doi because he's total eclipse. But I do think that they see more in Ashino than they see in Koji Doi, which is why I'm giving that to Ashino, which means that Ashino ends up with 10 in my block.
Good run for him. Ashino with 10 in yours, 8 in mine, and Doi, he had 4 in mine.
Yeah. The next one for me is Yuma Aoyagi and Koei Sato, and that's when I'm looking at my block, that's not really working out because Koei Sato only has 2 wins in my block. That is definitely not going to happen. But I really struggled to see Koei Sato beat anyone in this block. So that is why I didn't give him the respect that he will probably get. Koei Sato is not going to end with 4 points in the real Champion Carnival. He's probably going to be an 8-point guy in the end. But here, my 8-point guy is Yuma Aoyagi as he defeats Koei Sato.
Yep, I'm going to go with... This one's interesting. You could really go either way with it.
Yeah, a lot of matches are that way in the Champion Carnival, actually.
Yeah, especially with someone like Yuma. In mine, I had Ishikawa win. I'm going to go with... but I also had Ishikawa beat Sato, so I'm going to go with Sato. Might as well just be a little different. Move him up to 8 in mind. Like you said, he's probably going to be an 8-point guy, so I'm going to give him the respect that you don't give me.
Zeus and Shinjiro Otani.
Here's Zeus's big win in mind. He beats Otani.
Yes.
it knocks Otani out of contention. He was still alive and Zeus wasn't. So Zeus gets the win here.
Also elevates Zeus to an 8-point guy in my thinking, tying him with Yuma Aoyagi, which makes perfect sense too. And then we go to the two remaining matches. Former tag team partners collide, Suwama and Shuji Ishikawa. Suwama has 10 points in my block. Shuji Ishikawa has 6. And giving props to the big dog, he defeats the champion.
Exactly. Just for points purposes, Suwama needs to not get to 12, and Ishikawa can win and not get to 12, so therefore he wins.
Ishikawa always can believably beat anyone. That's another important part here.
Yes, he's done a great job of protecting himself.
Right. And then there's the big one, Dylan. The supposedly deciding match of the tournament, Jake Lee and Kento Miyahara. Who do you got?
Yeah, like we said, there's not going to be a real final, but in reality, this is actually going to be the final. Yeah, exactly. So Jake's going to win. I see no reason why Kento would when you have this hot total eclipse angle. This is Jake's time. He's finally going to do it after the new fresh coat of paint. If he had just done what he had been always doing as, you know, like Jin Jake Lee, I think that would be really uninspiring because he's lost so many times. But now with this new fresh coat of paint, he has a much better avenue to win. And I think he is going to take the crown and beat Kento Miyahara as a kind of a rematch from last year. Not necessarily a rematch, but a rematch from 2 years ago, actually, in the Champion Carnival Final, where Kento won. I think Jake wins this time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And we both put Suwama over Jake Lee during the tournament. But with Jake Lee finally winning the Champion Carnival, he, of course, gets the title shot at the big Ota Watch show. And then I think the moment comes where Suwama finally loses the triple crown and Jake Lee gets his big, big, enormous win that has to elevate him to top level in All Japan Pro Wrestling. And that is what I think the Champion Carnival this year is designed for.
Absolutely. So, I think there's no other way to say it. This is for Jake Lee.
Let's look at my block here, my final block. Jake Lee has 14 points, Kento Miyahara 12. Then we have Suwama, Shinjiro Otani, and Shotaro Ashino all at 10. Yuma Aoyagi, Shuji Ishikawa, and Zeus at 8. Koji Doi at 6, and Koei Sato at the bottom of the barrel at 4 points. Poor Koei.
Yes, not a big fan of Sato in this tournament in your booking.
In this tournament, I'm kind of not, but I can see him getting more wins, as I said.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's like mid-card father. I do think he's a step up from Sai, because that to me is kind of his role in the tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, mid-level guy, could beat some people, but could lose to some lower people, too. I think that he's an upgrade. I think he's a better worker than Sai, to be honest with you. But yeah, I had him at 8, so I gave him some love. But I also had to sacrifice Yuma a little bit to do it, but it's fine. Looking at mine, I'm posting mine now to make sure everything is right. I didn't have anyone go up to 14, so you really put Jake over and protected him, which is good booking, which is very nice booking on your part. But I had him at 12, which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think so, Doi
it's
is
a little more even out.
Yeah.
It's more realistic, to be honest.
Yeah. And I had Doi at the bottom of mine, pretty much. I think he's going to be the one that takes the fall at the end of the day when it comes to that. But, yeah, okay, so let's look at mine. I had Doi at the bottom of the barrel at 4, Ashino, Sato, and Aoyagi all at 8. I could definitely see Aoyagi winning the last match and going up to 10, actually. In my
yes, opinion. I can also see that.
Yeah, not knocking Sato down to 6. I think that would make more sense, honestly. So let's unambiguously, I'm changing my pick on the last day, just like you did with Ishikawa. I'm moving Aoyagi to 10 and Sato to 6 because I can do whatever I want. Shut up.
means we have no differences on the final night.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, Doi at 4, Sato at 6, Ashino at 8. Aoyagi, Otani, Zeus, Kento, Suwama, Ishikawa, all at 10 is a big logjam. And then Jake winning at the final portion of the final show, going up to 12 and winning the tournament.
Nice.
But I wanted to make sure there were more people, like there were a lot of people alive in the last night. That's kind of why I booked things a little differently. Yours is more straightforward, but it's still good. I liked a lot of the stories you told in your booking, if they were to go that route. Especially with Yuma, I really liked what you did there. Yeah, so I thought either one of these tournaments would be pretty good. And at the end of the day, they accomplished the main goal. Put Jake over and make him look strong, which I think we both did. And I think they will in real life as well.
And with this show being posted, I'm also going to post the link to this spreadsheet. So you can just fill out your column just behind Dylan and mine columns. And you can also do your Champion Carnival 2021 picks. And I'm straightforward looking at you, Rob, right now.
That's true. Rob, big Rob McCauley, where are you at, man? We're going to be doing this. We're going to have comparisons to go through every night. And that should be a lot of fun. Again, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Remember, too, all the proceeds are going to Asian American funds and the victims of the violence of last month in Atlanta. So you're signing up for a good cause, too. And you're getting a lot of fun stuff with the Champion Carnival. Plus, you get all kinds of stuff, too. Before that, like I said, on the show, we did Dragon Gate. I did a DDT review last night. So everything. Stardom's going to get their own review. Every company gets represented on our Patreon with live shows or shows after, you know, a day later, maybe a couple days later. But you get everything. Like I watch everything. I have no life, people. That's all I could do on the mountain.
enough of a life to travel to a mountain.
Yes. Actually, that was the one thing I really couldn't do that much of because reception was so bad there. You know, Strigger, you know what I did when I was on the mountain, when I was just in my room?
I ended
up watching because now in this room I was in. First of all, let me complain about the service. I'm about to bury someone right now.
Ooh.
Big Hotel has tested me when I went to Colorado.
Dylan versus Big Companies Part 3.
Yes, exactly. We had another example of me being unfairly targeted. I'm fighting for the little man out there. And Clarion Inn, what in the world are you guys doing at your hotel? So get this, Striga. When I walked into this room, I flew into Colorado. I got there, and I went to the museum my first day. Dad, like we were talking about, I went to a museum my first day. All kinds of stuff there. It was pretty cool. I ate Five Guys for the first time. You know what that is, Striga?
Of course I do. I've had Five Guys once as well when I was in Ireland. They didn't have it yet in Germany, and they still only have it in the big cities here.
Yes, it's a hamburger place, pretty much. I got a cheeseburger, some fries, and a milkshake, and I have to say, I wasn't really that impressed. I would have much rather had a spicy chicken sandwich myself, but they didn't have that option on the menu, so I couldn't do that. But the Five Guys was fine, and I get into the Clarion Hotel, the Clarion Inn, and what do I see, Striga? No lights. There is no light switches in this room. Ooh. Not in the bathroom. Not in the middle room, not anywhere. No lights. And it cost double the price of my second hotel because after the first night, I said, I'm out of here. Also on the floor, there was brown carpet and blue splotches of paint all over the carpet. Like it was designed. It looked horrible. Who designed this room? Why were there not any lights? All questions that I am offended by and did not even want to ask. So then I went to the Days Inn. Much better. Their room and half the price of the Clarion Inn. So when I get to that room, I watch a Korean drama, Striga.
Uh-oh.
They have a Korean drama channel in Colorado. I had no clue of this. That's what was on my TV. I watched whatever wrestling I could find on American TV, and I basically wanted to fall asleep watching it, pretty much. So then I turned it over to the Korean drama channel. It's my last ditch effort. Stringer, what do you want me to do? Watch Raw? I don't think so.
You don't want to watch that drama.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to watch that drama.
Was it in Korean with subtitles or was it in English?
No, it was a Korean drama with subtitles.
Okay.
And this show is called Mouse, Stringer. So I'm about to give you a review of the show right now. And I'm about to, spoiler alert, any K-drama fans out there, you might not want to listen to this next part. Just remember patreon.com/EasternLariat. Turn it off if you want. It's fine. But now this show is about a serial killer. Okay, Striga. This is a K-drama about a killer. It's about a doctor who determines the psychopathy gene. And in it, there's a killer. And then it skips ahead 25 years to his son, who also becomes a serial killer. And then his son gets killed by a cop who they determine in the first episode, both of the men have the psychopath gene, the cop and the serial killer, who's also a brain surgeon as well. And they determine that he's going to kill people. He hates God for some reason because he watched New Japan and he blames Kota Ibushi for the title. So he says, I hate God. That's his motivation for becoming a serial killer in Korea. And so he kills a bunch of people, and the cop, the main character of the show, there's two cops, the one with the psychopath gene and then the main character, Officer Go, who is not Go Shiozaki, although it would have been fun if it would have been. But he basically comes in. His family got killed by the original serial killer 25 years ago when he was just a kid. So his whole goal in this show is to get arrested and go to jail so he could kill the original serial killer who's now in prison. So he's targeted by the son of the serial killer, who's also a serial killer. And a lot of stuff happens that I'm not going to get into because it would take too much time. And it all ends up with the serial killer and the other guy, the other cop with the psychopath gene. They get into a fight. And they both go down. Also, the serial killer got shot by the officer Go. So he ends up getting killed. And then this girl, who's kind of like the other cop's girlfriend, but, you know, not really... She kills the serial killer, strangles him in his hotel bed or his hospital bed, and just kills him. He's dead. So the cop with the psychopath gene, he's dying and he needs a brain surgery. And so they hire the serial killer from prison to operate on the other serial killer, cut his part of his brain out and implant it into the cop's brain. So now he has the serial killer's brain. And now he is becoming a serial killer as well. The cop who was once a hero. He was beloved by all of Korea for helping to stop the...
What a swerve.
Yes, and now he is becoming a serial killer and being possessed by the original serial killer. And the dad who operated on him, he knew what was going to happen. But he really didn't give a damn. He's wanting to bring his son back and have him take over the cop. So that's where we're at. 10 episodes in. 10 episodes left to go. What will happen next? Please, K-drama fans, educate me, because I don't know anything about K-dramas. I know TVB dramas, and they're not this serious. They're kind of over the top and silly compared to this show. So I did not imagine a K-drama would have this kind of storyline. I thought it would be about romance. I want to love Striga. I want to be loved. And that's what I wanted. But instead, I got a bunch of killers and stuff going on, and genes and political drama and craziness. What happened? Why did I start watching this, Striga?
Listen, this started out with the Dylan versus Big Hotel and ended up with Dylan reviewing a K-drama on this show, which I certainly did not expect at the end of the show.
It makes no freaking sense, okay? And I will say, being in Colorado, that is the home of a show we both really love, South Park. I think this whole episode really reminds me of the song from South Park, Let's Fighting Love, on there. If you remember the lyrics, it tells you in the song, it makes no sense. But it's okay, we do it all the time. Yeah, see, so that's how that song goes, and that's how the show goes. It makes no sense, but we do it, and hopefully we do it all the time, because I missed you, Striga. This is what happens when I'm without you. I start watching K-dramas. Is that what the people want? Do you guys want me to start watching K-dramas more? Let me know. I'm on Twitter, at DylanZeroSky. Give me your recommendations. I will watch more dramas. And maybe I'll even recommend some TVB dramas as well.
But I couldn't possibly end this show on a higher note than Dylan singing a song from South Park right now. So let's end it at this. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.